Well, it's good to see each of you here, and we're glad that you came out this morning to worship God. This book contains the mind of God, the state of man, and the way of salvation, the doom of sinners, the happiness of believers. Its doctrine is holy, its precepts are binding, its histories are true, its decisions are immutable. Read it to be wise. Believe it to be safe and practice it to be holy. It contains light to direct you, food to support you, and comfort to cheer you. It's the traveler's map, the pilgrim's staff, the pilot's compass, the soldier's sword, and the Christian's charter. Here paradise is restored, heaven open, and the gates of hell disclosed. Christ is its grand object. Our good, its design, and the glory of God, its end. It should fill the memory, rule the heart, and guide the feet. Read it slowly, frequently, and prayerfully. It is a mine of wealth, a paradise of glory, and a river of pleasure. It's given you in life and will be opened in the judgment and be remembered forever. It involves the highest responsibility, will reward the greatest labor, and will condemn all who trifle with its sacred contents. God's Word, we've been emphasizing the reading of God's Word since the beginning of the year. We really emphasized it every time I've been in the pulpit and tried to. But to reemphasize it and to do that, even further, we're studying now from the book of John on Sunday mornings. This is our second lesson in a series of lessons on the book of John. Shortly after Jesus had eaten the Last Supper, the Passover, with his disciples, he led the disciples out to the Garden of Gethsemane to pray. And it was there that Jesus was betrayed by Judas. It's there from which the mob led Jesus to the court of Caiaphas. And he was tried by various individuals. Caiaphas was a high priest. And because John the apostle knew the high priest and was known to him, John was able to gain admittance to himself and to Peter to the outer courtyard near where they had taken Jesus. Only Peter and John were waiting outside while the mockery of the trials were going on inside. The rest of the apostles followed afar off. John accompanied Jesus then to the Calvary's hill with the agonizing procession that took place up that hill. And here, this apostle alone stood by the cross, sharing the grief of his own mother, the mother of Jesus, and other women who were gathered there at the foot of the cross. Then Jesus looked down from the cross, and he spoke. After seeing the disciple standing by whom he loved, he said to his mother, "Woman, behold thy son." Then saith he to the disciple, "Behold thy mother." The Bible tells us that from that hour, that disciple, John, took Jesus' mother into his own house. You know, I'd read that group of scriptures for many years without it getting itself in my brain that the one who was to take care of Jesus' mother also had his mother nearby at the foot of the cross. And we're talking about John the Apostle, the one who wrote this book from which we're studying. If you have your Bibles, open your Bible to the book of John. We'll be referring to a number of verses here in the second part of our introduction to the book of John, the Gospel of Belief. John was, of course, one of the 12 apostles. He was the brother of James, They were fishermen. His father was named Zebedee. And of course, we meet his mother there at the foot of the cross. He was one of the closer three, the inner three, as we refer to a number of times, of Peter, James, and John, the ones who were with Jesus on various occasions when the other nine were not with him. And he was, of course, chosen by Jesus to care for his mother. Other books that he wrote were 1st, 2nd, 3rd John, and the book of Revelation. John lets us know the purpose of his book in verses 30 and 31 of chapter 20. Chapter 20, verses 30 and 31. We'll be using this verse a great bit during this series of studies. It'd be good to put that verse to memory. I don't remember things as easily as I used to, and I don't remember things that I used to remember and used to know, but not as well as I used to. But I still can remember some things, and we still can. It really helps our thinking, helps our memory if we test it every so often. So let's test our memory with looking at verses of Scripture from time to time and putting those Scriptures to memory. Many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written, John said, that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life through his name. So these are important words that John has addressed to us. It is thought that John wrote after the other gospel accounts, after Matthew, Mark, Luke had been written. John does not begin with the birth of Christ. He begins many years earlier, many, many, many years earlier. And we'll be studying that beginning next week. But there are a number of things in the book of John that are not in the other books of Matthew, Mark, Luke. And there are many things in the books of Matthew, Mark, and Luke that are not in the book of John. These four books, first four books of the New Testament, give us different looks at the same life. Some of the teachings, sometimes there's an overlap. Some of the teachings, the miracles, the parables, the examples of Jesus in his life. Then his death, his burial, and resurrection. Some give more details. The book of Luke would give more details than the other. Luke was a physician, though guided by the Holy Spirit. Seems like he had a tendency to write a little bit more and a little bit more in detail. He also wrote the book of Luke. Someone says if you take the book of Luke and the book of Acts together, Luke was the most prolific of the writers of the New Testament, even though Paul wrote far many more epistles or books of the New Testament. So as we look at the book of John, there are a number of items that are covered in the other gospel accounts, but not in John. For instance, you would not look in the book of John to find a genealogy of Christ, to look at his ancestors. You would need to go to the book of Matthew, the book of Luke, in the beginning of those books. Birth of Christ is not mentioned in this book. The baptism of Christ, mentioned in Matthew and Mark, but not mentioned in the book of John. The temptation of Christ in the wilderness, mentioned in Matthew and Luke especially, but not in John. Sermon on the Mount appears primarily in the book of Matthew, to some extent in the book of Luke. The Garden of Gethsemane, though very important, is not mentioned in the book of John. Except for Jesus as the good shepherd, we find no parables in the book of John. Parables primarily would be found in the book of Matthew, though Mark and Luke have parables within them. But a number of items concerning Jesus and his life, his teachings, are found in the book of John that are not in the other books. The marriage feast at Cana, where Jesus turned the water to wine, in chapter 2 of John, but not in the other books. Nicodemus, who was a ruler, come to Jesus by night, said, We would not, I know you're a teacher from God because of the miracles you do. Chapter 3. We don't read of Nicodemus in that particular occasion in the other books. The woman at the well in Samaria, at Sychar, is mentioned in chapter 4, but is not mentioned in any of the other accounts of Jesus, of the gospel accounts. The raising of Lazarus is only mentioned in this book, chapter 11 of John. The washing of the disciples' feet, that great act of humility, of service that Jesus gave to his apostles during that final week of his life on earth to teach them how that they should be, how practice humility before all people, especially before each other. And also the explanation of the coming of the Holy Spirit that we read about in Acts chapter 2 is not mentioned in the other books, but mentioned in the chapters 14, 15, 16 of the book of John. This is a lot. I don't suggest that you put it to memory, but just keep in mind that these books don't write about exactly the same thing. You won't have the same lessons in one book as another. In fact, you will have fewer moral lessons in the book of John than in the other books. But you'll have more emphasis upon evidence and proof of Jesus being the Son of God and being the Son of Man in the book of John, because John says that's his purpose. The things that he's right, the signs, the miracles, and also the teaching were meant to increase folks' faith, to cause faith to increase beyond where it was. So let's look at our lesson this morning on the gospel of belief, the book of John, as we further introduce this book to us in our study. One of the things that the book of John does is to emphasize the humanity of Jesus. And though he says in his purpose statement in John 20, 30 and 31, that we might believe that he has written, what he's written is for the purpose of us obtaining more belief and might believe in Jesus as the Son of God, he also wants us to see Jesus as the Son of Man. He wants to see Jesus' humanity. Jesus came to this earth. In fact, John chapter 1 and verse 14 said he became flesh and dwelt among us. He wants us to know that though he was God, though he was in the beginning with God, that he came to this earth and lived as a human being. And there are some scriptures, there are some verses found in the book of John that tell us that show us that prove to us of that fact. Let's look at John chapter 2 and verse 13 through 17. John chapter 2, begin with verse 13. And the Jews' Passover was at hand. Another thing you can find out how long Jesus ministry was by just looking at the number of Passovers that he attended, which was like three different Passovers it showed. The Jews' Passover was, as far as his ministry was concerned, length of ministry. The Jews' Passover was at hand. Jesus went up to Jerusalem, and he found in the temple those that sold oxen and sheep and doves, and the changers of money sitting. They were there trying to help the people with the different monies and to have available so they could buy, I guess, various and sundry of the sacrifices that they would give. And said, when he had made a scourge of small cords, he drove them all out of the temple, and the sheep and the oxen, and poured out the changers' money, and overthrew the tables, and said unto them that sold the doves, take these things hence, make not my Father's house a house of merchandise. The disciples remembered that it was written, the zeal of thine house has eaten me up. Now what they were doing was not outlawed, as far as I can tell, unless there was some skullduggery going on there, cheating. But it was where they were doing it. And I assume that when they saw Jesus making this scourge of small cords, it'd be like my kids or I was when my daddy went out to this switch bush we had. You ever have a switch bush? And he would collect a piece of that bush, and that was going to be used for discipline. And so Jesus used that scourge. He got angry, didn't he? So Jesus got angry. Why not scold him? You know, don't do that. You're not supposed to act like that. He got angry. He was human. He got angry. He overthrew the money changer's table. Look at chapter 4, verses 1 through 6. Prior to speaking at the with the woman that comes to the well, the woman from Samaria, which the Jews just didn't do at that time, we learned something else about Jesus, about his humanity. Wherefore the Lord knew how the Pharisees had heard that Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John. Though Jesus himself baptized not, but his disciples. He left Judea, and he departed again unto to Galilee. So he left the area of Jerusalem, that area, that province of Judea, went back to the province of Galilee, not far from where he was born, in that area of Galilee. And he must needs go through Samaria. That was another province in between Judea and Galilee. Then cometh he to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near to the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied. Well, he's the Son of God. There's no reason he should get tired. He's the Son of Man. He was human in that regard. He had walked. I mean, he did not take a train or take a bus or take an airplane from Galilee over to Samaria or from Jerusalem all the way up to Galilee. There's a lot of walking going on. A lot of miles. This wasn't going next door to a store, going to, you know, a quarter, driving down the street to a store or something. Being wearied from his journey, he was tired. And he sat down. He rested. So we see that Jesus had human characteristics like we do. He experienced fatigue. Look at John chapter 6. Try to keep these very close together so it won't take me too long to find them. John 6, let's look down at verse 15. Jesus had just fed 5,000 with 5 loaves and 2 fish that a little boy had there in his lunch. And then he found that they were going to try to take him to become a king. When Jesus therefore perceived that they would come and take him before to make him a king, he departed again to a mountain himself alone. When even was now come, his disciples were down to sea and entered a ship, went into the sea toward Capernaum, and it was now dark, and Jesus was not come to them. And the sea arose by reason of a great wind that blew. So when they had rowed about 25 or 30 furlongs, they see Jesus walking on the sea, drawing nigh unto the ship, and they were afraid. And he saith unto them, It is I, be not afraid. Then they willingly received him into the ship. And immediately the ship was at the land whither they went. So Jesus had comfort. He had sympathy. He had calmness of soul for those who were in fear. These disciples were in fear as they saw him coming, walking on the sea. I know they expected him to join them. How that they thought he was going to get there, maybe in a real fast boat. But he joined them, and they were frightened. Other times they were on the sea when the sea was in an uproar, and they were frightened, and he calmed them. Look at John chapter 11. Jesus had a very close family ties with Mary, Martha, and a man by the name of Lazarus. And there in the 11th chapter, we read from verses 32 through 35. You see, Lazarus had died. When Jesus comes upon the scene, Mary and Martha are both concerned as to, you know, where he's been. But then when Jesus sees him, says that when Mary was come, verse 32 of John 11, when Jesus was coming when Mary was come, whether Jesus was and saw him, she fell down at his feet, saying unto him, Lord, if thou hast been here, my brother had not died. When Jesus therefore saw her weeping, and the Jews also weeping, which came with her, he groaned in the spirit and was troubled, or he troubled himself, and said, Where have you laid him? They said unto him, Lord, come and see. And the Bible simply says that Jesus wept. Jesus wept. Shortest verse in the Bible, but tell us a whole lot about the humanity of Jesus. This word wept suggests that there was a silent sobbing. You've seen people who cry. My daddy didn't, I don't think I ever heard him cry out loud. But I saw him silently sob when my mother died. Silently sobbed. Show how deeply he was troubled. Jesus also knew agony. He knew pain. John 19:28, we'll not read it, but from the cross, one of the seven sayings, he said, from the cross was I thirst. He knew thirst. He knew hunger when he was in the wilderness, before he was tempted of Satan. He had fasted 40 days and 40 nights. He knew hunger. He knew thirst. He was human as well as divine. So John emphasizes the humanity, but not only does he emphasize the humanity, you'll see a number of times where he emphasizes the deity of Jesus. Look back at the very first verse of the book of John. John starts really at the beginning. I mean at the beginning. The book of John begins the same way the book of Genesis does. And it begins at the same time, within the same time frame in mind. It says, in the beginning was the Word, capitalized. Later down in verse 14 it says, the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And then later, verse 18, starts speaking about Christ. So we know that that Word was Christ. It says, in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. And the Word was God. So if the Word was Christ, the Word was in the beginning. Christ was in the beginning. Christ was with God. Christ was God. Christ is God. Was God, is God. Always will be God. The same was in the beginning with God. Jesus is divine. What John is telling his reader. Jesus is divine. That's what he's going to seek to prove throughout the book. But these are some facts he sets forth at the very beginning. In John chapter 8, look at verses 51 and follow. John chapter 8, beginning with verse 51. And we'll go down through verse 58. Verily, verily, I say unto you, if a man keep my saying, he shall never see death. Then said the Jews unto him, now we know that thou hast a devil. Abraham is dead, and the prophets, and thou sayest, if a man keep my saying, he shall never taste of death. Art thou greater than our father Abraham, which is dead? And the prophets are dead, whom makest thou thyself? Jesus answered, If I honor myself, my honor is nothing. It is my Father that honoreth me, of whom you say that he is your God. Yet you've not known him, but I know him. And if I should say I know him not, I should be a liar like unto you. But I know him and keep his saying. Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad. Then said the Jews unto him, thou art not yet 50 years old, and hast thou seen Abraham? Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am. Which is the way we would probably say it, before Abraham was, I was. I'm divine. I'm the Son of God. He doesn't come right out and say it, but that's what he's saying. Jesus was the Son of God. In John chapter 17 and verse 5, in that chapter where Jesus speaks of the unity of all believers, he speaks of the glory that he had with the Father before the world was. So this one that came as a baby in the book of Matthew, and that was what Matthew was supposed to write and was directed to write. This book that appears first of all as a baby in the book of Luke appears first of all in the book of John way back in the beginning as God. Was God. is God. Now, sometimes that's a little bit hard to imagine in some of the situations that we read about. But to those who were hung up on Abraham, who looked to their ancestors to give them to give them greatness or spirituality or whatever, or claim to greatness, Jesus said, "Before Abraham was, I am. I was." There are a number of statements, if you want to look them up, but where Jesus uses the phrase "I am" in the book of John. I think it's about 6 or 7 times. Jesus, the Son of God. Jesus speaks of being the true bread from heaven. Look at John chapter 6. John chapter 6. We'll begin with verse 27. Be sure I'm in 6. That's a long chapter. Okay. There's going to be a discussion of the physical and of the spiritual. Of the manna that God gave them from heaven when the children of Israel were in the wilderness, and of that which God has presented from heaven during the time of Christ in the form of Christ, a spiritual manna. Labor not for the meat which perisheth, but for that meat which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you. For him hath God the Father sealed. Then said they unto him, What shall we do that we might work the works of God? Jesus answered and said unto them, This is the work of God, that you believe on him whom he hath sent. They said therefore unto him, What sign showest thou then that we may see and believe that? What dost thou work? Our fathers did eat manna in the desert. As it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat. Then Jesus said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, Moses gave you not the bread from heaven, but my Father giveth you the true bread from heaven, speaking of himself. For the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto you. Jesus therefore feeds the soul, is what he's saying. Jesus nourishes the soul. Then said they unto him, Lord, evermore give us this bread. And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger. He that believeth on me shall never thirst. But I said unto you that ye also have me, and that you have seen me, and you believe not. So the true bread, he says, is for the soul and for its hunger. And the true bread, not that manna which was necessary and was given you by God, that took care of your physical hunger, your physical thirst. But it's Jesus himself that takes care of your spiritual hunger and spiritual thirst. The third thing I want to mention finally this morning in looking at the gospel of belief and some things that the book of John emphasizes that we might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. At times he stresses the all-knowing power, the omniscience is the big word that's used for that. The all-knowing power of Jesus. And we're going to refer to a number of these. If you want to take down a scriptural reference and look it up. But in chapter 4 of the book of John, where Jesus speaks to the woman at the well, he lets her know that he knows her past. She talks about her husband, not the one that she's with now, as not being her husband. And Jesus said, "Well, you speak well." She had several that were quote husbands. And so Jesus knew of her marital situation. John 4:16-19. He knew that the man beside the pool of Bethesda that he would later heal. He knew that this man had an illness for a long time. And you just couldn't tell that man, 38 years was the number of years the Bible mentions, but Jesus knew it, and he knew it without being told. He knew that Judas would betray him. He knew that Judas was to be the one that betrayed him. John chapter 6, verses 66 through 71. He also knew, if you look at John chapter 11, he knew that Lazarus had died before he was told. He was told that Lazarus was sick, that he was sick in the earlier part of the book of John chapter 11. And then as time went on, you know, Mary, as we read a while ago, fussed at him and said, you know, if you'd have been here, was it Mary or Martha? Never doubt what you say. Mary's was the one that said it. Okay. Mary had said it, said, you know, if you'd been here, my brother would not have died. And yet, Jesus knew that he had already died. He knew that he had already died. He referenced that earlier in verses 11 through 14. And remember that when Peter said, Lord, where are you going? He said, well, you can't go where I'm going. And it's in John chapter 13. And Peter said, I'll go with you anywhere. And what Jesus tell him? He said, well, before the rooster crows, you'll deny me three times. And that was prophesied or predicted, and Jesus knew about it in John chapter 13. The denials take place in John chapter 18, several days or several weeks later, in verses 15 and following in John 18. We have three different denials as Peter is asked, don't you know this man? I saw you with him. I don't know him. You speak like a Galilean, you know. You have that accent, not me. So there was that three times that Jesus was denied by Peter, and Jesus knew about that ahead of time. So in our lesson today, John, the Gospel of Belief, some emphasis in the book of John as we read and study it over the next several weeks. Purpose that John says, I wrote this book. There was so much more that could have been written because Jesus did many more things that would help to prove the statement that he makes. He says, but these are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life through his name. So John's writing was meant to invoke belief. For those who already believe, it's meant to invoke greater faith. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by God's Word. And we're going to be studying directly from God's Word in our lessons. And John says, within this book I emphasize the humanity of Jesus. Jesus was one like unto you, the Hebrew writer says. And he was tempted in all things like as we are, and yet without sin. He had anger, but anger is not a sin unless we let it get out of control. Unless we let it stay with us to becomes hatred. He became weary and tired just like we do. He had sympathy, he had compassion like we should. He experienced grief, he offered compassion, he offered comfort. Jesus is also seen as the divine. He's all seen as the Son of God within the book of John. He was the Word. He was in the beginning with God. He was God. Always was, always will be. Before Abraham was, he said, I am. And John emphasizes the all-knowing power, the fact that he would know something about other people. And sometimes it's hard to separate the humanity of Jesus from the divine. But as far as his temptations, as far as his reactions to various things in his life, he was human. And at times, he was able to do those things that were divine. They did not interfere. And they did not help him in his life and living his life as a human being on this earth, as the Bible says in Hebrews 4, verse 15. We're thankful for your attendance this morning and grateful for your attention and our lesson. If there's one here this morning not a Christian, why not come to Christ this morning confessing Jesus as the Son of God, confessing your belief in Jesus Christ, the Son of God, that in believing in him you might have eternal life one day. And acting upon that belief to repenting of your sins, be baptized after confessing Jesus as the Son of God, to rise from that baptism to walk newness of life as a Christian, be added to his church. If there are those here as Christians that desire prayers, congregation will be glad to pray with you, pray for you this morning. If there's one that wishes to rededicate your life to Christ, why not do that this morning as we stand, as we sing the song selected.